I think the biggest things that I would advise somebody like that on is surround yourself with people that are smarter than you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, don't get down on yourself when somebody knows something that you don't know, but take it as a win. Welcome to the MediaCorp Minute Podcast. My name's Josh Langmaid, and I own a video agency here in Rochester, Minnesota. I'm joined here by Mike Reps. Mike is a co-founder and general manager of Two Men and a Truck here in Rochester, and you also own locations in Mankato and Fargo. Mm-hmm. Husband, father, entrepreneur, investor, and I'm excited to have you on today.
Well, thanks a lot, Josh. It's an honor and a privilege to be here.
Absolutely. So I was trying to think back to when we first met, and I believe it's funny, I brought the Minwest Bank cups out, and it's the only cups that we have so far. And but it reminded me, that is where we first met. They were doing a testimonial video with you, and you know, we were obviously shooting it as the video agency, and I think, you know, obviously meeting there, and did I say, hey, let's grab lunch? And it kind of just, you know, we kept grabbing lunch and coffee and whatnot, and
blossomed from there. Yeah.
No, that's awesome. So yeah, Two Men in a Truck. I want to hear kind of where that's at, how you kind of got into it, and you know, were you always an owner? Or, you know, let's get into a little bit of the story there.
Yeah. Yeah, so Two Men in a Truck is an awesome franchised moving business. First franchised back in 1996, and there's over 300 locations worldwide today. I started back in February of 2015. The franchise here in Rochester opened in a year before that, so January, February of 2014.
Okay.
And they started with three trucks, still had three trucks when I came on board.
Nice.
And now we've grown it to over 10 trucks and moving customers every day. This year we'll move about 3,500 customers.
Wow.
So,
were they always in that location on North 52?
No, we started in a humble little spot on North Broadway, next to just up from Velocity in the Mail Building.
Oh, nice.
Over there. And yeah, we started with a 700 square foot office, pretty close knit group that we had. Yep. We were sharing offices, and I was really the only one that had a single office in the
space.
Yeah.
When you started, what was your position there?
So I came on board as the GM right away. I was approached by the guy that opened the franchise, who was a veterinarian on the dairy farm that mm-hmm. I was working on at the time. And he had started it and kind of didn't know what he got into, so to say, or so to speak. And the franchise was growing a lot faster than what he had anticipated. Mm-hmm. And so him and I had a relationship from a ways back, and got together for pizza and pop one night, sat down, talked about it, and kind of the rest is history. But yeah, never really knew about moving companies growing up. Farm kids, Southeast Minnesota.
Absolutely.
If somebody needed to move, we just cleaned out the cattle trailer and got after it. But it's really a fun business. It's a really rewarding business. Kind of the niche that we have is the customer service piece. So creating a great experience for people in a stressful situation.
Absolutely.
And when we can knock that out of the park, people scream our name from the rooftop, hopefully. So
that's awesome. So you come in as a general manager. When does it shift to having ownership in the Rochester location?
Yeah, so part of the conversations with the original gentleman that brought me on, his first name is Jim. Part of those conversations were that I would potentially have the ability to become an owner at some point. We didn't really talk about dates, but we talked about it just being down the road. And, you know, I've always wanted to own my own business. Agriculture was kind of a tough thing to get into with the amount of overhead. And, you know, I just didn't absolutely love the idea of being in deep debt my whole life and constantly be trying to climb out of that. This was presented to me, and seemed like a great opportunity.
Absolutely.
So yeah, started as the GM, and then in 2018 was when I had the opportunity to buy in as a as a part owner, a co-owner of Rochester.
Absolutely. So when did you guys move to the new location that you're at now?
Yeah, so we moved to North 52 out by 65th Street. We moved there in May of 2017, and which was really a great move because once we got on Highway 52 and got that exposure was when we really started to kind of open the floodgates with customers. You know, people knew about us, but there's only so much online marketing you can do once you have a physical presence. You know, we have a neat spot with all the trucks up on the hill when you're driving past. And so, yeah, about a little over four and a half years ago now we moved out there.
Awesome. So before even becoming, you know, GM and then eventually owner, what was kind of your, some of your past, what did that look like? Was there school involved? You know, what kind of jobs and stuff that you worked that may have prepared you for it or?
So like I said, I grew up as a farm kid, and you know, had a great childhood growing up. Dad taught us how to work hard. I really only knew agriculture though, but I've always kind of had a sense of curiosity that's been built in me to sort of wonder, you know, and to kind of look into things a little bit deeper.
Yep.
And I knew that I wanted to own my own business the whole time. But after high school, I went and got a 2-year ag business degree, and then looked at the jobs that were presented to me and wasn't a huge fan of that. So I went and got a bachelor's in ag science with a management emphasis. And
with the hopes of doing what at the time?
Yeah. So with the hopes of owning my own dairy.
Okay.
Someday. I didn't know what that looked like or who that was with.
And is that what your dad did? Was on a dairy?
He is a dairy farmer. Yep.
Still is?
Until he retired a few years ago.
Okay.
Yep. So, yeah, at 22, I thought I had my dream job. So I was working for the Durst Brothers out by Manorville. And I was overseeing 3,000 animals. And we had a crew of about 22 to 25 guys.
Wow.
That I was leading, just, you know, putting in the hours. It's really all I did. It's all I talked about is just...
Yep.
Always going on the farm. But eventually I realized that it really takes a lot to get into agriculture, and there's a lot of volatility in agriculture. In an industry like that, you know, somebody else sets the price and then you take what you can get, essentially. No matter, you know, you can be the most efficient person, yes, you can be you have a great public reputation, but at the end of the day, on a dairy commercial, you're selling milk. And so they tell you what you're going to get, and that's the way it goes. And so did that for 3 years, and then that's when I guess I went to work for Ag Partners for a year. I managed a location in Cannon Falls for Ag Partners, a feed and farm store with a grain setup and some fertilizer. Did that for a year, and then that's when I was approached by Jim to come on with 2 men in a truck.
Yeah.
So
after you know, the ag side and moving into 2 men in a truck, you know, part of becoming an owner, or even maybe before that, was there, you know, a mindset shift of, you know, like I really want to pursue ownership of, you know, a company. And like, you know, did your mindset change over the years? And like, how did that look? Just like your thought process.
For me, it comes down to kind of the legacy, I guess, that I want to leave on Earth. And you can change a lot and you can do a lot through business ownership, I guess. And so part of the legacy that I'm trying to create is to create opportunities for people that wouldn't have otherwise had those same opportunities without my influence on it. And I guess once I came on board to 2 men in a truck, I really saw super gifted people, just maybe didn't have a ton of know-how or resources of how to get from A to Z on the path that they want to get to. And so when I saw that I could create that for them, that's when I really knew that, like, this is the place for me, and I want to, you know, push hard after the business ownership piece, because then I'm in control of that, not necessarily the middle, kind of the middleman.
Yeah. No, that's great. and they're part of like buying into two-man a truck, you know, and then owning it for, you know, a time now, you know, part of your story is now owning, you know, two more locations, Mankato and Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
What made you, you know, what made you want to purchase those or start those? And then what made you also want to stay with the franchise method, maybe instead of going, hey, I might be able to make a little bit more, but I'd have to start from scratch, you know, and with a new moving company.
So I like the franchise model because it's really a template that's easily duplicated. And it just kind of fits my personality pretty well, I guess. I'm not a huge, like, create new systems, you know, standard operating procedure kind of guy. I like to build, not necessarily down in the details all the time, wondering about, you know, who's going to take out our garbage or that kind of thing. So in a franchise, a lot of that stuff is all taken care of for you. I had a guy working with me in Rochester. His name was Josh Hutchins, and I worked with him in Rochester for 4 years and poured into him hardcore, trained him, was exactly the guy that I had hoped, you know, would be there. And him and I kind of looked at each other one day and, you know, I was like, hey, you know, either you're going to have to take my job or you're going to be overqualified for your job here pretty quick.
Yep.
And so, either we're going to have to start another location here or do something else, you know? So he's like, all my eggs are in one basket. So that's when I went to the drawing board, went to see what locations were open in the Midwest. And lo and behold, there's Fargo, North Dakota, sitting there as an open territory. So I approached home office about it and they were in agreement. And then approached Josh and his wife and sent him up there for a weekend. They had some fun and came back and said, let's do it. So
just kind of like see the area, see, you know, what it would like to be there.
See if they could imagine themselves, you know, living there. They've got 3 kids now, so raising their family there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of a first step in me creating this system of sort of like a planting model, if you will. So training people in Rochester is sort of my passion. I like to train, I like to develop. And so that's sort of like our template and our training modules. We train people in Rochester and then we send them out to start their own location. So we did that in Mankato here right before the pandemic hit, like literally a month and a week, I think, before the pandemic hit, we opened Mankato, Minnesota. And then we're looking to do that again and again and again.
And that was, Mankato was another person that was working for you.
Yeah.
That kind of same thing. You poured into them, trained as much as you could. And, you know, you felt they were prepared to run their own store or location. So then you work with, just as a franchise model, like you work with the home office then on, you know, location, whatever. What does that look like when you're starting a new one from scratch?
So you have to identify the market. You have to do some research. So each market I've gone to myself for a weekend, my wife and I, and just go there and kind of check it out, get a feel for things. We try to get together with like a realtor. If we know anybody in the area, we'll try to take them out for lunch and sort of glean as much information from them as we can. A big market indicator for us is median household income and the percentage of population that's in that demographic. Because, you know, we're not necessarily marketing to the first move from mom and dad's place to your first apartment or after college to your first apartment. We're trying to get that 26 to 32 year old that's buying their first house, trying to capture that move. And then we know that we'll get every move thereafter over the course of their lifetime. So that's what we're going for. So you just, you approach home office with identifiable territory and then say that, hey, I've got this person to go and run it, develop a business plan, find a location, you know, buy a truck or two or three, and then just employ the template that they have with, you know, digital marketing, all the advertising that takes place. They've got all that set up. You just have to kind of turn the key.
Mm. How much freedom do you get to kind of, you know, do whatever you want inside of, you know, the franchise?
Yeah. So every franchise is independently owned and operated, subject to state specific laws. So you do get quite a bit of freedom, on how you want to, you know, categorize your business in terms of who does what, or how you want to create efficiencies, or where you want to purchase things from, purchase your supplies, purchase your trucks, purchase, you know, uniforms, things like that. Mm. But what they don't compromise is the brand image to the customer.
Right.
So you've got to be, you know, pretty compliant with that kind of thing. So, yep. Yeah.
Okay. But,
yeah.
So I know that, you know, the building that you're in currently, at least when I came in and met with you once, there was, you know, you occupied only, you know, a fourth of it maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did you end up, were you leasing at the time when you were in that spot?
Yeah. So when you and I had met, when we did that commercial with Midwest, mm-hmm. We just leased the front 2,500 square feet.
Yep.
And the rest sat empty. So it's a 9,000 square foot building. Yeah. And so, yeah, we just had the very first part.
Okay. So, and then, you know, I know, but then part of what you did was ended up buying that building,
mm-hmm.
and kind of walk through, you know, why, you know, the investment side of it, and then even what you did with the, you know, extra,
mm-hmm.
you know, 80% of the building.
Yeah. So, in the last few years since owning a business now, you know, I've always tried to look at us, how can we create value for the business first, and pour back into the business or reinvest in the business. And mm-hmm. when you have the control of your own real estate, yes, there's, you know, tons and tons of benefits down the road that we can talk about with asset building and tax, taxes and things like that. But the biggest thing is just control over your physical location and not having to have the thought to find a place to move 10 trucks, 45 employees, you know, eight to 10 office staff, the whole works.
Yeah.
And in the building we have currently, it's a wood frame stick build on, like I said, 9,000 square feet. So we said, we kind of mutually approached had a mutual approaching with the past owners. And they mm-hmm. said, hey, you know, would you guys be interested in taking this on? And so we sat down, looked at opportunities for revenue with putting it all into storage. Finding the storage customers wasn't necessarily hard because of the right. moving business, but it's just something that we saw as kind of, you know, an additional service. When we have storage for our customers, we're not moving them into, you know, our not necessarily, I don't see like storage places in town necessarily as our competitors because we're so mm-hmm. small. But other moving companies are our competitors,
right?
And they have storage.
Well, and it's interesting because, like, you think of, you know, real estate companies that branch off and start a management company that mm-hmm. start, you know, so it's like, you know, you're buying the building as an investment as a property, but you're mm-hmm. also looking at as, you know, putting those storage units in, how that, you know, can even like help. It supplements your business perfectly,
mm-hmm.
and you can, you know, service your customers even better.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's, you know, is unique that you did that. I remember, you know, very early on when you were still thinking about buying it, you know, we spoke once about,
right.
parting it out with, you know, four companies or whatever and looking yep. at that. And, it would have been a great spot, but, you know, at the time it was just like, you know, we weren't at that place to take on, you know, just that much space and
mm-hmm.
and be there for 5 years. But obviously when you made that decision, you know, it worked out and that's been great.
Yeah. Yeah, it has been. And I just, you know, being a younger guy in business, one of the hardest parts is kind of taking that leap of faith, you know. But one thing that we do have on our side is history, cycles, and then our own ability to do research. And that's what That's what it kind of came down to with that purchase. It was sort of the risk versus reward. Being on Highway 52, man, has helped us a lot out there.
Mm-hmm. How does your process work when you're thinking about, again, that risk versus reward when it comes to buying investments, you know, commercially or starting, you know, the second, third, and, you know, now fourth, working on a fourth? How does, you know, how do you kind of take that risk on?
Yeah. I guess when it comes down to a risk in the moving business, you know, it's almost a recession proof business in a way. Not that franchise moving has been around for decades and decades and decades, but in our industry, you know, right now interest rates are low. We all know that. So, a lot of people are finding that they can keep the same mortgage they had 4 years ago, but have a house that's 1,000 to 1,500 square feet bigger and a new house besides. So people are moving for those reasons. Now if interest rates were to go up or something, people could potentially say, nope, we're going back. Like, we're going to downsize again. So that's what I mean when I say recession proof. But I guess when I evaluate risk, you know, in starting territories, one of the risks is losing the territory too.
Right.
So you have to sit down and think
about, like, if you didn't get it, someone else, you know, correct, would eventually.
Okay. Correct. Yep. Yeah. Cause there's a lot of people, you know, looking at, say,
to grow as well. Yep.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. So you got to factor that in, but yeah, I guess my own risk or my personal risk or our business risk comes down to sort of like our business goals and what we're trying to do long term.
It's interesting because, like, I think especially too when I started MediaCorp, and, you know, as we've, you know, grown and taken on, you know, business debt and whatnot.
Yep.
Not that it's substantial, but, like, there's still a lot of risk with everything, especially when you got employees and livelihoods that you're, you know, taking care of. But you look at money so much differently now, and especially when it's almost like based off of your performance. So, like, you're taking that risk, but you're also taking it banking on, like, can you still perform and, like, you know, supplement that income and that risk and whatnot. And, you know, when I looked at it like that, like, well, I just need to work harder, work longer, smarter, and then, you know, the risk doesn't scare me as much. Does that ever happen for you? Like, that's how I look at so many, like, risk situations.
Yeah, that's typically my default at first is, like, all right, muscle up and put the nose to the grindstone. And, you know, the 8 p.m. until 11 p.m. shift, that's when some of this is going to get done.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of times how I look at it, yes. But at the same time, as you take on more risk, you get a little more comfortable with it. And then also your capacity grows. And I've personally seen my capacity grow in that way. But I would say just as much as you grow and take on risk, you know, us as business owners, we need to constantly be thinking about, like, how do we protect ourselves too, you know, in our personal lives. I don't think either of us has a desire to just to work, you know. But yeah, at the same time, that's sometimes it is what it takes. You know, there's different, I'm a believer in there's different seasons. There's different seasons in your week. There's different seasons in your month, in your year, you know, in your decade. And so sometimes it's go time, sometimes it's, you know, foot on the brake time, and sometimes it's coast.
So in this, you know, time frame of, you know, from working to owning to the multiple locations and, you know, obviously buying the building and things like that, what kind of struggles has there been, be it business or personal or, you know, family life, you know, things like that, that you've had to, that you've seen and then had to, you know, overcome? And just because, like, there's a lot of things that you give up or sacrifice to live a certain lifestyle or be a business owner and entrepreneur.
Yeah, I don't have it all figured out.
Yeah.
I'll be the first to admit that. You know, my wife and I've really only been business owners now for, you know, 3 to 4 full years. 18, 19, 20, and 21. And so I'm still trying to figure that out, I guess.
Do you think there's ever a time where you're like, I got this?
I don't think so.
I know.
I think there probably is, but maybe that's when the bank comes knocking in on a foreclosure.
That's right.
There are struggles. I mean, it's, you know, very real at times. There's sacrifices that, you know, I've had to give up or I've had to take on. And there's also freedoms in business ownership. I wouldn't say that I've necessarily experienced a ton of those because I'm just such in still like building mode currently. And that's fine. That's what I feel called to be doing right now is still building. Just because I'm really passionate about creating opportunities for more people that we do have on our team. So yeah, that's a great, great question. I'm sure we could, you know, talk about that for a really long time, but yeah, there's, you know, you constantly have to kind of keep it on guard that, you know, business doesn't trump other areas of your life or it doesn't get in the way of certain things. And so,
Have you done a good job with, you know, do you feel kind of managing work-life balance? Obviously you have a family. I don't. I feel like I'm in that building stage right now and just dedicating so much time and energy to the MediaCorp and building this.
Yeah.
You know, but obviously it's like, hey, if I'm not doing this, like, what am I doing kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah. It's an internal battle, I could say, about every day. You know, you got to battle to be a dad or boyfriend or husband or whatever the roles that you've committed to in your life are. You know, you got to battle to keep them at the forefront and keep winning in all of those areas, not just two out of the four or three out of the four. So yeah, it's something it's really real. But surrounding yourself like this, this is a relationship that I really appreciate. And, you know, I put a lot of merit into and other guys that own businesses that's something that I guess has helped me is speaking, talking, knowing other people that are kind of sharing that same weight or that same pressure, you know, the other people's livelihoods. That's a real thing. You know, I can see the guys that you have working around here. There's, like you said, you have people out selling, you have gentlemen back here creating video, creating content, like, it's happening around here. Yeah. You know, you're running a business, like you're making product that people desire and want.
Yeah. No, it's, I like just like the thought of, you know, as we grow and we get bigger, you know, just the opportunities that can come from it. And, you know, like you said, with you being in this building stage and you want to continue being in that building stage because you can still see the growth and like, I don't know when that's going to stop, but obviously, you know, I'm going to get married at some point and, you know, I'll be able to kind of try to balance that as well. But I was going to ask, was there conversation that you even had, you know, with your wife either prior to owning or things like that, that it was like, you know, hey, what do you think about this? Like, you know, should we do it? And then how did she, you know, support you in doing that and being a part of it?
Yeah. Yeah, man. She's been my number one supporter the whole time in ownership. She really has. You know, we tend to have a winter season where we don't have as much business going on, two men in a truck. So when there's trucks sitting in the parking lot, you know, you get a little antsy sometimes. And so her support, really means the world. But yeah, there's been tough times. There's been great times. You know, some of the coolest stuff we've done is we won, awards through Two Men in a Truck and being top performer every year for the last 4 years.
Wow.
And we're right there in contention again this year. So that'd be 5 years straight. So that's something awesome. That's pretty cool. But yeah, in the tough times, you know, if you have a hard conversation at work with an employee or lose an employee or lose a big move off the schedule, you know, that's something that is very real. You know, it's not that she expects everything to go well either all the time. That's, you know, kind of a relief too.
Yeah.
Where if there is a loss or, you know, we do lose once, hopefully we win the next time.
Mm-hmm. I know from just all of our conversations and things like that, that you do have, you know, this unique look on life, and something that you said, you know, anyone can learn anything as long as you have the attitude and willingness to make mistakes, learn from them, and then go after success nonstop. Now, I mean, where did you come up with that and kind of adopt that mentality, that you believe yourself and that you're pouring into your team and, others around you?
Yeah. So the very first job that I worked after college, there was a posting on one of the guys' doors in his office, and it said, "The only thing we can control is our attitude." Mm. And I've seen, you know, very successful people. I've seen people with really high paying jobs, whatever, but poor attitude. Or I've seen really successful people with poor attitudes. I've seen highly educated people with poor attitudes, but then I've also seen lowly educated people with very good attitudes. And it's my opinion and my experience that the ones that are going to excel year after year after year, year after year, and not only professionally but personally, are the people that do have a good attitude and are willing to learn and are willing to change, because we all make mistakes at the end of the day. And we know that we need to learn from our mistakes, but if we don't believe that, if we don't do that day after day after day, year after year after year, then eventually it just kind of peters out and runs out. So I would rather teach or lead or coach a person that maybe, you know, doesn't have the best background or doesn't have a straight-laced background, but has a great attitude, wants to learn, wants to excel, wants to pursue their dreams alongside of me, and take that route versus constantly struggling around the things that we can control and just not wanting to control them or change them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I love rallying guys. I love, you know, giving kind of motivational speeches in the morning during dispatch, or
really
doing that kind of thing. That's sort of like a sense of pride.
That's
for
awesome.
Me.
Yeah.
You know, is like leading a team like that. So yeah, it's just something that I'm passionate about.
No, it's great. We've been doing trying to do more and more of that, is just because, like, attitude, motivation, even gratitude, and like just your mental look on life, I think changes so much of inside of, you know, work and outside of work. Mm-hmm. And you know, something that we try to definitely do is be huge on, like, culture. You know, culture is very important to me. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously our customers are extremely important, and the experience that they have and the product that they're getting, and, you know, and how to use those. But you know, we get guys lining up to work here, and it's like, that gets me excited. Like, okay, we've created a cool business and a cool culture that, like, is attractive to young people that want to, you know, join on and be a part of that. And,
yeah,
you know, for you to also, like, you know, have so much focus on the people and, you know, their attitude and things like that, that's going to help them, again, inside and outside of work, and just make them just better all around.
Yeah. And that's a huge kudos to you, that you've created that culture where people want to work. That's uncommon in today's world. We all know that. And so the more that you create that, I think that's just going to drive your business forward, because, you know, happy employees are making happy customers. Happy customers tell other people that they're happy customers.
Absolutely.
So I think that's really cool, and a big pat on the back for you, Josh, that you've created that culture here at MediaCorp to do that. And it also shows in the work that you do too, you know, in the product that I've seen, talking with your brother, you know, seeing him out in the community a little bit here and there.
Yep. It's just, it's fun when your employees take pride in and make it their own, you know, and like, that's when, like, you know, and I feel like I'm doing something right, is like when they're like, okay, MediaCorp isn't just Josh. Like, this is it's a collaborative, it's a team, you know? And, yeah, like, I love when they can feel that they're a part of that, you know, and whatnot. Talking about, like, just like employees in general, you know, how has like, obviously with growth and expanding and things like that, you know, you're always looking for employees, and just like, what's kind of like your take on, you know, how you hire, and just different things like that, like with employees and like growing and like constantly having more and more, being able to manage them, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really hire on attitude, you know, kind of your past a little bit, I'd say, but biggest two things are attitude and teachability. I can usually gauge a person's heart pretty well in a 20-minute interview on whether or not they're willing to change or adapt to our culture and the things we're trying to create at Two Men on a Truck, just by asking them certain questions.
Yep.
So that's how I hire, but I am a huge believer in training people up through the ranks. So like basically every manager that we have and you know, the gentleman that started Fargo, the gentleman that started Mankato, they started as movers, mm-hmm. drivers, managers, now managers, GMs, now GMs, owners, to become a partner with me in their own respective franchise. So I like that route because I can then teach them the business side. I can teach them the trade. I can teach them certain people skills. You know, you got to have some, but, you know, if you walk in like moving, it's not a college trade. You know, there's not a course over at RCTC
how to move
or Winona State on move execution. Yeah. There just isn't.
Yeah.
So it's a hands-on trade. We have a pretty regimented training module because it's not an electrical apprenticeship. It's not XYZ. It's a trade that we need to teach on site. So I like that approach. It's done well for us. It seems like it's worked. I think it's created a culture where it doesn't, like we kind of been talking about, it doesn't matter who you are, but if you have a great attitude and you're willing to learn and grow, you know, you can really do anything here or in the world too.
Mm-hmm.
But those two things are pivotal in your success at Two Men in a Truck.
Do you think that also gives them a unique perspective on, I mean, from being at the top and but working all the way through, it's got to give you insight and perspective on, you know, how you manage and run that company.
Yep. Absolutely. Like our controller in Rochester, you know, he started on the trucks as a mover, saw some cool things in him, very trustworthy guy, and now he signs checks, you know. Mm-hmm. That's a great example of somebody that has started from, you know, on the lower ranks and worked his way up to, I mean, basically doing accounting level bookkeeping type stuff.
Yep. So part of what I want to talk about is what the future of the company looks like. But before we even get into that, I want to just go and talk about like what motivates you as an individual to, you know, that drive and that motivation to go and be, you know, more successful and, you know, be a part of more people's lives and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
What's some of your like driving force and, you know, thought and how that and just how you are?
Yeah. I think it's a combination of a few things. So there's nothing like, giving somebody an opportunity in life and knowing that like you worked hard to give them that opportunity. There's like, personally, there isn't a whole lot that's more fulfilling to me, you know, to see that. So part of that though, is you got to keep building. And part of that is you got to create a good business and you got to create something that people want, you know? So that's one big thing. You know, I grew up around business, like having parents that were farmers, that it's a small business, and got my grandpa, both my grandpas were business people. A lot of my family is in business, not even agriculture, you know? So I was just around business all the time.
Mm.
And I like it. I live and breathe it. And I like teaching it to people. So it's fun for me to come to work every day and just kind of see things clicking like that. That's what I really enjoy. And I know that the more that I build or push to pursue to create then the more that's going to happen. Like walking into our Fargo office and seeing everything running, they have 6 trucks up there now. We're just bought another one for them for next year. We might even buy another one to make it up to 8. To walk into that franchise and to see all the systems in place, everything running, mm-hmm. just drives me to create another opportunity for another set of people. So that's something, you know, trying to create something for the next generation, whether they want to or not. That's also kind of a newer passion of mine since having kids now is, you know, if they want to take over one of our businesses or whatever it looks like at that time, that there is an opportunity there for them. Mm-hmm. You know, dad, coming out of college, I rented a little farmland, and my dad gave me that opportunity. And so I want to give that back to my kids. That's another reason. And then just having, you know, a little more financial freedom going into my 40s, 50s, or 60s is also something that I long for and that I want.
I think there's an element of, like, you know, like sales guys will get it when they're, you know, when they're selling and it's like mm-hmm. consistent or something like that. I feel like you can go both ways too, though. Like
yeah.
When things are down, it's just like, it's just crushing and it's like heavy and it's, you know, you got to try different things to kind of pull you out of that rut or, you know, change mm-hmm. your mindset. But on that opposite side, like there's nothing more invigorating and just like, seeing something working and success and growth and like movement and progress is just, you feel so good and you're so fired up to just continue that. Mm-hmm. So with that, where do you see kind of the future with what you're doing and then, you know, for your businesses mm-hmm. In the next 3 to 5 years?
Yeah. Yeah, so kind of the current, you know, not struggle, but kind of the current challenge that I'm facing is like to become less involved in the day-to-day in Rochester and then use that time to hopefully start another franchise after that. So in the next 3 to 5 years, you know, we'd like to probably start at least 2 more, maybe 3 more franchises. Excuse me, at some point. There won't be a time where there's open markets anymore, so we'll have to probably buy out other mm-hmm. franchises.
Yep.
Excuse me. But that's the direction that we're trying to head now. We'd like to own real estate in each city too, right. that we're in to diversify a little bit.
Real estate or similar real estate to what you've done here in Rochester?
Similar. Okay. Yep. So we kind of have a sweet thing going here where the office and storage is in one spot, yep. but it's not to say we couldn't do like self storage in Fargo or Mankato or, you know, buy a storage complex, like a climate control storage complex in one of those cities and then operate out of that. Mm-hmm. So the 3 to 5 year plan is to start at least 2 franchises and then to have real estate in each of our cities that we're in. And then also another value added thing that 2 Men in a Truck is starting to get into is junk removal.
Oh, interesting.
So, you know, it's kind of part of the move when you're moving out, yep. taking stuff to Goodwill, taking stuff to the dump.
Just so they don't have to do that themselves.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. Yep. No, that's great. well, I mean, wrapping things up, obviously, I've learned things. I hope, you know, listeners have mm-hmm. been able to, you know, pick things up and learn things or, you know, maybe even been just motivated to continue, you know, in their journey. Mm-hmm. What would you leave someone, cause like a lot of people, listening and like what we're going for is really just that the business, the entrepreneur, the, you know, and there's going to be a variety of industries and stories on here, but mm-hmm. what would you leave someone that's just interested in business and growing and maybe ownership, you know, but they're young and they're earlier on in the stage than
yeah.
you know, than yourself.
Yeah, and kudos to them for identifying themselves as a person like that, because I was that person at one point in time too. So I think the biggest things that I would advise somebody like that on is surround yourself with people that are smarter than you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, don't get down on yourself when somebody knows something that you don't know, but take it as like, take it as a win for you personally.
Be teachable, yep.
Read books, read, go to seminars, network, get your nose down to the grindstone and push, you know, the early years in starting a business, like you're going through, like I'm going through, there is just a lot going on, a lot to keep track of. So organize yourself. And then I think there's different ways to go about starting a business, whether you want to do, start a business from scratch, whether you want to get into the franchise model like I'm in, or whatever you want to do, but just make sure you know what you're good at and then surround yourself with people, that are better than you in certain areas, and then hire people for your weaknesses. So stick to what you know. Don't be ashamed of things you don't know, because a successful business, every area has things operating correctly. The businesses that don't grow or plateau or, you know, aren't around anymore are the businesses that aren't well-rounded. And so us entrepreneurs or us people that want to be in business have to realize, you know, if we're going to do it long-term, we need to know what we're good at and what we're not, and either learn the things that we're not good at and focus on some of those things, or hire for it. And, man, just have fun pursuing your dreams.
Mm. I love that line. Just like the understanding what you're good at, playing off your strengths, and then, and then hiring or surrounding yourself with the people that can supplement what you're not good at.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's been a huge thing in what just the growth that we've seen, you know, in a short amount of time, because you're not going to be good at everything.
No, nor do you really want to sometimes, you know,
right? I mean, but you are going to be blessed with certain strengths, and just knowing what those are and being able to just push on those elements of your business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sweet. Well, Mike, I appreciate you coming on today.
Yeah.
And just excited to continue our relationship, and maybe we'll have you on next year and you'll have two more locations.
Yeah, well, thanks for everybody who's listening, and Josh, you've done a great job of leading this. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you, and
absolutely.
Thanks for inviting me.
All righty.